Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and today is going to be a special day. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Woohoo! And accordingly, I have such a wonderful guest on, Coach Jim Johnson. We're going to find out more about him. But you know what happens in this world, in this universe? It's just there are no mistakes, at least in my opinion, my humble opinion. And I was trying to schedule Coach Johnson. I actually have to ask him what he prefers me to call him. But Coach Johnson, maybe a few weeks, and it just so happened that his schedule and my schedule was perfect on Super Bowl Sunday. So we're going to get into his story, his famous story, and then also where we can find the human spirit. Because the human spirit, quite frankly, is living and well in sports, and especially today on Super Bowl Sunday. But for my new listeners, I get new listeners every week, and just welcome to the show. You might be wondering, what the heck is this reality spirituality, and who is this Rebecca Norrington anyway? Well, I want to share that I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist, and what that means is that my agenda, my intention, my goal in every moment is to experience more happiness. And when I say happiness, you know, haven't you heard that happy thing to death? Well, I'm really talking about an internal peace, an internal contentment, an internal calming a nature that, quite frankly, we can link to, hook to, connect to in any waking moment. And remember, I don't have control over what happens in life. You don't have control over what happens, but what you do have is control over your behavior, your words, your attitude. You have control over your perspective. You definitely have control over how you want to look at any situation. You want it to be a positive, you want it to be a negative. It's all up to you. And that message is really empowering. And when I was younger, yeah, I've shared the story that I wanted two things in my life. I wanted, number one, to live to my potential, and number two, I wanted to be happy. And this being happy, this finding peace in this crazy, crazy, crazy world is not easy, not the easiest journey I've been on, but it is the most rewarding. Because what I want to talk about with Jim today, too, is more of that and finding that, and it's really about an internal foundation. Please, I invite everyone to call in that's listening live on the show. Jim has agreed to answer questions, and the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. You can go to the Reality Spirituality Facebook page and follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. And without further ado, I want to give you a brief introduction. Coach Jim Johnson's life-changing message imparts a deeper awareness of the power of human spirit with the rare ability to take audiences far beyond a motivational talk and into a transformational experience. That's what we do on this show. He reminds us, he's going to remind us of the passion, the perseverance, and the power of teamwork with over 30 years of experiencing developing winning high school basketball teams, including 407 career victories. He's going to set the stage for the unique credibility and the power of his own message. With that, I want to welcome Coach Jim Johnson to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate your energy and what you're going to share with us today. Welcome, Coach Johnson.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Now, I know you've told your story hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, how you were, quote, put on the map. Can you briefly share with my audience, for those who haven't read about you or haven't heard, briefly, what is your story? What is the background?
Sure. Well, I've been a high school basketball coach for over 30 years, and 12 years ago, I had a young man come into our basketball program. His name was Jason McElwain. The world now knows him as J-Mac, a nickname I tagged him because I couldn't pronounce his last name very well. And he had a dream to make our basketball team, and he talk about perseverance. He actually tried out for our basketball team 3 consecutive years, which is very unique in my career. I rarely have a player that will ever try out more than once, let alone 3 consecutive years. But Jason had great desire and perseverance, and so he'd never made our team, but he was our team manager for 3 years, 2 years with me on the varsity. And because he was so loyal and committed and worked so hard, I wanted to give him a gift in his senior year. And so when he didn't make the team as a senior, I shared with him that I wanted to give him a uniform for our final home game, which we call senior night, and hopefully get him in the game. And as a kid, when I speak around the country, that he would periodically ask me about the uniform. And, of course, I would define periodically in Jason's eyes is about every other day. Well, what Jason has is he is on the autism spectrum, and he's also learning disabled. But he has a heart of gold and a lot of desire. And on February 15th, 2006, in fact, the 10-year anniversary is coming up next week, he got an opportunity to get into our final home game. I put him in with just over 4 minutes to go. And after missing his first 2 shots, including his first shot so badly, it was a 3-pointer he missed by about 10 feet, he actually made his 3rd shot, and that was a 3-pointer, and the place exploded.
Oh my gosh.
In our community, we have almost 90,000 people in our community, and if you came to our town now, they would all 90,000 would say they were at the game. It was just pure bedlam, and although there was only about 1,000 people there, it was just awesome to see how the crowd responded. But Jason didn't stop there. He kept making shots, and when the smoke cleared, he had scored 20 points, including 6 three-pointers. And the 2 little things that I'll never forget in those last 4 minutes, with a minute to go in the game, of course, I'm sitting on the bench, can't believe what I'm witnessing. Tears are rolling down my face. Jason, I get a tap on my shoulder. When I'm sitting on the bench, I look behind me, and it's Jason's mother, and she's bawling her eyes out, and she embraces me and whispers in my ear, "Coach, this is the best gift you could ever give my son," which, of course, touched me deeply. And then how the game ended is Jason got the ball in the last 10 seconds, and the place is going crazy. He's dribbling down the floor, and he stops about 3 feet behind the 3-point arc. And I'm thinking to myself, "Jason, don't shoot from there. It's too far." He launches this rainbow and swish. And the next thing I know, everybody in the stand is running on the floor. And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my gosh, I'm living the movie Rudy, but this is really happening." And as I said, it was interesting. At that point, I had no idea how many points he had. And our players put him up on their shoulders, and he's going around the gym, and our public address announcer comes on and says, and the leading scorer for the Trojans tonight, J-Mac, with 20 points. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, he played the whole game. He scored 160. So it was just the most amazing night I've ever had in my 35 years as a coach, and it's something that I love sharing. I do inspirational and leadership keynotes all over the country now, and to be able to touch people's hearts through my speeches and workshops is really special.
You know, I was gonna ask you, because when you were telling the story, when you said that he made after he missed a couple of shots, and I got chills in my body, and I was gonna ask you, did you ever think that you should have put him in the game a lot sooner?
Well, you know, I've gotten kidded a lot over the years that, why did you put him in sooner? And I said, boy, if he made all the, knowing I was going to make all those shots, I certainly would have. But it was a great thrill, no question.
Now, so because of that, and you said that he was autistic, which is really
right.
an interesting story right there, because quite frankly, let me just, which would you prefer me to call you, Jim, Coach Johnson, or does it matter?
Jim or Coach, either whatever flows for you, Rebecca, I'm good.
Okay.
So.
Okay, Coach, I love that. I haven't had a coach on the show before. Okay, cool. So my question is this. I really, really think that there is so much to be gained from sports, all kinds of sports. It just brings together the best in the human spirit. And so could you give me your definition of the human spirit?
Sure. I think the human spirit is the what is inside of you, and so that you bring out the best of yourself to help others. And I think you develop the human spirit by understanding what your own personal mission is. I call it developing your own personal mission statement. And when you know what you're all about, I think your spirit comes out truly to the world and helps. And helping others is such a major part of the human spirit. And, you know, that's what makes the world great, is when everybody's looking to help each other. And certainly sports in their microcosm is a great way, because you do, you know, most sports teach so much about how to work together with others, which is such a powerful concept in life.
Right, exactly, and that's exactly what I was talking about, working together. But let me share with you just really quickly what I found is, unless I really, for me, I mean, of course, yes, helping others, but I really, that person in the mirror has to be number one, because unless I have my stuff together, unless I've done the work, and unless I've done, for me, unless I've done what I really looked and see what I need first, I'm not that big of a help to others, because years ago, don't tell anybody, Coach, but years ago I was this maniac, opinionated, judgmental, argumentative, confrontational, and I really wasn't, I mean, of course, I really wasn't my best. So how do you get, in your opinion, how do you get to a point where you are able to share the best of who you are in all moments?
Well, I totally agree with you. I think the first person you have to work on is yourself. And, in my talks, I talk about, you know, the ability to continue to grow as a person and having your own personal development plan. And so that, because if you're not feeling good about yourself, and then it's very hard then to support and help others. So I think there's no question it starts with you figuring out what you're all about. And then, bringing that out to the world on a daily basis by being someone that people can trust, people can count on because of the person you are. And I think that's what the great leaders are. The great leaders, the first person they develop and the first person they grow is themselves. And then when they do that, they tend to attract the right people in their lives. And certainly I think you lead by example is where it all starts. One of my keynotes is about 7 effective habits that I think great leaders have. And I think that's very true, is that, you know, you lead by example. And, you know, so I think the first thing you got to do is figure out what you're all about. And once you have that, then it's, you know, it kind of, you can spread that around the world.
Okay, so now that you gave us a little tease, what are the 7 great habits of leadership? I'd like to hear them.
Sure, absolutely. I think the first thing you need to do is understand your vision in life. And I mentioned briefly in my other keynote, I talk about developing your own personal mission statement. And just for your listeners, my mission is to be an outstanding role model that makes a positive difference in the world by helping others make their dreams come true. And when I was very clear about my mission, it really helped guide me, number one. And once you're clear, I think people understand that and they're willing to follow you. And I think that's what leaders do, is they develop their own mission and vision and then be able to share it with the people that they're leading. Secondly, I think the foundation of leadership is trust. So I think you've got to be able to build trust amongst your troops, your team, your organization. And I give different ideas on how we build trust in our team. But I think it starts with the fact that you show people you care and that you're there for them, you know, in the tough moments as well as the good moments. And, there's a lot more to that. But I think, you know, building trust is something you do on a daily basis. The third thing I call is creating an edge. I think effective leaders are always trying to search for ideas and how they can help their team, their organization, their business become more effective. My fourth one is being an effective communicator. And, when people think about communication, I think they think about their own words, which is very powerful. I think a leader has always got to be cognizant of what they're sharing with their team, their organization. But the other side, I think the most effective leaders are powerful listeners. They're willing to listen to their people. They're always seeking feedback. And I think helping their people feel that they're an important part of their organization. The fifth one I mentioned earlier is I think great leaders lead by example, you know, and that people, if you're saying one thing and doing another, then again, that breaks the trust down. But if people can't trust you because you say one thing and do another, I think it can hurt you very much as a leader. The sixth one is a philosophical point, and that is what I call leave a profit. And it's a mindset that I really try to establish with each team I coach and any group I try to lead, is that everything we're going to touch, we want to turn to gold, not garbage. And, you know, I give a quick illustration, like when we go to an opponent's school, I'm always talking to our players that we want to leave the locker room where we're at better than when we got there. You know, if we see paper on the floor, we're going to pick it up. And going back to my example, lead them by example, is that, you know, I go in and if I see a piece of paper on the floor, I pick it up, you know, and certainly I think that kind of goes through our whole program and is a very powerful concept, is that everything you touch, you want to turn to gold, not garbage. And then my number 7 is to be a servant leader, and that is to find ways to serve your people and help them grow and improve themselves.
Wow. I was writing, taking notes while you were talking. I like all of your examples, and I agree with all of your examples. One of the things I want to say, however, is my journey has really taken me to a place where I don't know, Coach, sometimes my goals might be different than the universal goals. And it's like my plan is different than the universe's plan. And so I want to throw that out also, because I spend a lot of time planning what I thought I wanted or desired or my goals in this world. And I found out that if it's not aligned with the universal plan, that ain't going to happen. So can you speak? Yeah, can you speak on that for a little bit? Do you agree, or you have a different take on it? I welcome either one.
Well, yeah, sure. I think that if you do something contrary to what's right, I think that ends up breaking down. And I think I'll add is that one of the things that I do with my team is I'm always finding out what their own individual goals, because as a coach and a leader of business or anything, is you're always trying to to seek what's best for the business or what's best for the team. But I think the most effective leaders also understand that each person has their own individual goals, and as a leader, you're always trying to help support that. And as I go, we have a great player on my team this year, and I talk to him all the time about, you know, because he wants to play at he's going to be a Division I player, and his ultimate dream is he wants to play in the NBA. And I don't know if it'll come true, but I think he's got a shot to do that. But I'm always telling him that, if you want to be in the NBA, you know, these are certain things you got to do on a daily basis, and you know, those types of things. So I think as a leader, you need to be cognizant of what the people in your group, your team, what they're most interested in, and how you can support them, and certainly support in helping not only them, but in putting it all together into a team concept.
Okay. I like that. So let me just, do you mind me asking you some questions that are kind of behind the curtain, you know, backstage questions?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yay. Okay, good. What? Okay, so listen, I can't even imagine coaching a lot of, especially high school children, right? High school kids.
Yeah.
Ooh, my head is exploding just thinking about it. So so hopefully your team is your students aren't listening, but what irritates you or what annoys you or what angers you or what really bothers you? And there's got to be something. Share with us.
Well, I think the challenge when working with young people is that you're trying to help them figure out life, and I think the thing that sometimes is irritating or challenging to me is when they think they got it all figured out at 16, 17, 18 years old, and you know they don't. But I think that's where it's really important. I mean, one of the things I changed a number of years ago when I first started coaching, I kind of took the role that I was the dictator and what I said was gospel, and I wasn't going to listen to my players, and I knew all. And what I really evolved is, I think the most effective leaders may know more than people in their group, but they may not. And certainly I've learned a lot from young people. So the biggest thing that I changed was that I listen much more to my players. I have a captain's meeting every week at the beginning of the week, and I always talk about how our chemistry is, what's going on in our team. Because I think when you open that door and are willing to listen to your players, you learn a lot about them. You learn a lot about the different guys on the team. And I think as a leader, that helps you immensely.
Okay, so now you opened a can of worms, because your story that you just shared coincides with a professional football coach. Are you a football fan, professional football fan, or not really?
I am, yes. Yeah, I definitely follow football and basketball and baseball.
Okay, Coach Coughlin from the New York Giants. And there was, how they have those documentaries on the NFL channel, it's Football Life. Are you familiar with those?
I am. In fact, a little sidelight, Coach Coughlin is actually from the area I grew up. He was from a town from about 45 minutes from my area. So I know a decent amount about Coach Coughlin. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. So next time when you see him, tell him I said hello.
Well, actually, I've never met him, but he grew up in an area. He's older than I am, but he's kind of a legend in our area. But I've actually not met him.
So in other words, you have the same relation. Okay, yeah. But there's a story that Coach Coughlin was when Michael Strahan just went first was when he was coach. First started coaching the team, and you used the word dictator, and Coach Coughlin was just like that, this dictator. And what I found fascinating was that he was able to look in the mirror and basically change and lighten up. He was playing this role. He even shared it on that documentary. He was playing a role of a dictator as opposed to being himself, which is, in fact, his wife encouraged him to just, you know, this is going to be your last coach, your last year coaching, because his last year the team wasn't doing good. He was on the chopping block. Everyone thought he was going to get fired from the Giants, and and his wife said, if this is going to be your last year, why don't you just let your hair down and hang out and be yourself and relax and enjoy this and have fun, as opposed to this dictator mentality and really not having any fun. And so the year that he did that and just really relaxed with it was the one of the years that, I think it was the first year that he won the Super Bowl.
Right.
With Michael Strahan. So this, and my question is, because I myself had this role of who I thought I was with this, you mentioned it, the stern person and this my rules, my way or the highway, and it really is a softening. It's not me, it's who I was programmed to be. So are you saying that there is, what you shared was that there was, now you're more of a listener and you are actually growing from being a coach and changing and evolving as a person?
Absolutely. I think the one thing is that I've found is the most people that have the most effective, you know, as leaders and just people in itself, is that they keep growing and they keep finding ways that how they can improve themselves. And, you know, that's something that, as I said, I mean, early in my career, I struggled as a coach. You know, it's funny because I've had a lot of accolades in the last 15 or 20 years. We haven't had a losing season in 23 consecutive years. But early in my career, my first job, we won one game and I was fired from the job. It was a very humbling experience. Even after 7 years, I was still quite a bit under 500 as a coach. And then, you know, we were able to turn around. And I think the epiphany I had was that when I decided that, you know, not only did I have to continue to learn to more about basketball, but the more important thing is I had to become a more effective leader. And I think when I've done that, it's really ended up being something that's helped me be much more successful as a coach.
Okay, so I have a question. What is your definition of success? Because it's different for everyone, and I have a second question, but the first question, I'm really painting you into a corner, so let me just give you a warning.
Right, okay, no problem.
Okay,
I'll
good.
See what I can do.
Yeah.
Well, my definition of success is that I want to do my best every day, and I want to do that by continuing to grow myself. And secondly, then to be able to reach out and grow others. And I think when I'm doing that, I'm successful.
I like it. I like it. Second question. Does it matter? Do you care? Does it matter what other people think of you?
Well, you know, that's something because this is my last year as a coach at the high school that I've been at for the last 20 years. So I've started to do a little bit of reflection on that. And I've thought about that because I think it's human nature. And I'll say for myself personally, I would certainly rather be liked than disliked. But with that being said, that I know that I become very principle-centered and I'm going to do things what I think is best and the right thing in my mind. And I know sometimes that creates friction with people that I may be working with. And so to answer your question, would I rather be liked? Yes, but not at the sense that I would do something to be liked because I did something that wasn't in my what I felt was high level of integrity.
Okay, so you didn't answer the question. what I want to say is, so it does matter. I mean, it's rather be liked or disliked. So it does matter.
Yeah, I definitely think I know for myself personally, I'd rather be liked than disliked. I certainly want to try to spread, you know, happiness throughout the world. So I want to provide that concept, but at the same time, I know there's certainly people that don't like me. And, you know, there's been cases where it did bother me a lot, and there's other cases where, you know, hey, I know this is the right thing, and I'm able to move on from it.
Right. Well, the reason, or one of the reasons, what that was one of my big lessons, and I was just curious your input. One of my big mm-hmm. lessons is I was, happiness specialist. Can you believe, Coach, that there are people that don't like me? I mean, what's not to like?
Right.
But what I've had to do is really get grounded, and my foundation is my opinion of me is really the only opinion that matters. If my opinion of me and my opinion is aligned with the universe's opinion of me, so that has to be the only opinion, and then everybody else, like you said, they can either like me or they dislike me, but it really has no effect. My preference, if some people like me, that's fine. My preference, if they don't like me, I don't have a preference because I'm grounded in what I think about me. So I just wanted to mm-hmm. throw that out. That's a big
right.
one. That I've met a lot of people that are really concerned about, I'm not talking about you, but people that are concerned about other people, and you really, that just that concern or that focus on others and what they think has an effect that now you have to conform or now you have to be something so other people can like you. No, you just be yourself and be grounded
right.
in being yourself.
Yep, well said.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, another question. So, do you learn more from, this is another trick question, do you learn more from, sorry, at least I give you a warning, right? Yeah. Do you learn more from, and you and your team, do you learn more from winning or losing, or is it equal?
I'd say that you do learn more about losing, although I'd like when we don't have to find out that way. I mean, we're having a great season this year. We're presently 18 wins and one loss. So, but I think losing has certainly opened your eyes more, and I felt over the years that I've learned more from losses than wins. And I think sometimes when you win you really got to be careful as a leader that you don't think that everything's perfect because you won, because you definitely need to learn from every experience and every game. But certainly it'll be different between a win and a loss. I think the loss puts a higher sense of urgency, and I certainly have learned more from my losses than wins.
Okay, because and what I wanted to follow up on that is, quite frankly, I think and I'm not a coach, but losing or things not coming out the way I want them to come out, a preference. That's why I had to let go of all preferences. But losing, what builds more character, winning or losing? And in my opinion, mm-hmm. it's losing, because you want to build character, you want to grow. It's very, very easy to be happy and smiling when the sun is shining and you're winning all of your games. But I want to see, you know what I want to see? I want to see a coach, and I want to see, when I'm talking about professional football because that's what I follow. I look mm-hmm. at the teams that come to the podium after a loss. And I can tell by their body language, by their energy, if they've won or if they've lost. And so, but there are a few. There's some in the basketball community too, professionals. Coach Popovich, and that's the only one I know in the basketball that is able to be. I'm talking about, in my eyes, admired and respected because of his character when he loses. He is teaching how to lose. In other words, mm-hmm. how to lose with dignity, with grace, with character. And mm-hmm. that is what I respect. And if I look and I see a coach with their chin out and they're poking their lips out because they lost, well, quite frankly, I'm okay. Now I know who you're about. You're good. Mm-hmm. when the sun is shining, but who are you
right.
when it's raining? So speak
right.
a little bit about that, Coach.
I think that's a really powerful thing going, when I talk about as a leader, you setting such a powerful example. And I'm right on with you that I think the most effective leaders in my world, the coaches, are the people that can handle adversity and be able to, you know, get not only themselves in the first, and then secondly, the, you know, their team, in my case, get them back, you know, on the right path as quickly as possible. You know, I you hear a lot of different things, and one of the kind of the adages I've follow is that, you know, failure is great feedback. And if you accept failure as the fact that you're going to get feedback and learn from it and grow and move in the right direction, then, you know, in our case, you know, a loss is considered failure. I think you can learn so much, and it's something you really got to think about as a leader on how you handle adversity, because if you don't handle it very well, it's going to be a reflection of your team, and it's going to trickle down to your team. So I'm right on with you. I think it's a really powerful thing, you know, as a leader, a coach, that you handle adversity, learn from it, and be able to take your team to a higher level because of the adversity, and figuring out, you know, what we did wrong, how we can we correct it and move forward.
Okay. All right. Now, here we go, Coach. Now we're going to go toe-to-toe, because you used the word that I have, quite frankly, eliminated from my vocabulary, and it's the F word. It was an F-bomb, Coach. It was an F-bomb.
Right.
And that word failure, I don't believe there's any such thing as a failure. Even if you've lost a game, a failure, I mean, and quite frankly, for me, it's a programming. It's a you know, you said something earlier about human nature. This human nature, when you really get down to it and you dig really deep, a lot of it is programming. Yeah, you lose a game and now it's a failure. Well, I don't use that word, because everything that happens is there for a reason, and there for me. I'm just speaking about me, for me to grow. Mm-hmm. And so it's an experience without a judgment of being a failure, or it's life is really an experience. And for me, I had to let go of these labels of failure, because that word does not set well with me and or my soul. But that doesn't mean we still can't be friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, I listen to a lot of inspirational, motivational speakers all the time. And, you know, the late, great Zig Ziglar, you know, one of his statements that I've followed is, you know, failure is an event, not a person. So, you know, I completely hear what you're saying. And certainly my mindset, you know, when my case where I either go through a loss as a coach or some kind of adversity in my life, is that, you know, my big thing is I want to learn from it and grow from it and move in the right direction.
Exactly. And basically, so we're on the same team.
Yeah.
So my other question is, staying on that same topic, what do you share with your students when they lose? I mean, because I see it in professionals now. These professional players are huge, whether I like it or not, role models. These kids are watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see a player that's just all down and out, and just so his energy is just he's just taken over, he's so defeated, how do you teach a child that your energy doesn't have to shift? You still get your lessons. You can still learn from it. But the defeated energy of now, I'm just, my whole day is ruined because of a loss. How do you teach your students, your team members, that you don't have to shift that energy? You can still be okay with the loss. You could still get your lessons. You could still learn something from the game. But you don't have to be that, oh, gosh, woe is me type. How do you teach that?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, in my situation as a coach, we have some foundation pieces I will assess pretty quickly when we meet as a team after a game, whether it's a win or a loss. And our foundation is, did we give our best? Did we play as a team? And, you know, those are the two things that I always look at. And did we play smart? Did we, you know, follow our game plan and that kind of thing? And there certainly have been losses in my career. Well, we did those things, and just the other team was better that night. And, you know, so I will share some ideas with that. If we, those three foundation pieces where we didn't play, didn't give our best, or we didn't play together, or we didn't play smart, we didn't follow the game plan, then I certainly will address that. But, I, you know, the thing that I've really tried to share with our players is the, I call it the 24-hour rule, where, you know, don't get too high when we lose, and don't get, or high when we win, and don't get too low when we lose, and that, you know, the sun's going to show shine or come up tomorrow, and that we got to be ready to move forward. So I think that's where my experience is, you know, a coach that that we can handle both situations, learn from both situations, and continue to move in, you know, on the right path.
I love that 24-hour rule. I have a similar statement that I say is rejoice quickly and recover quickly.
Rejoice quickly
and recover quickly, which means, and 24 hours, I have to say, I gotta get it right into the next moment, because every moment is so special and so important. And so which brings me to, if I haven't recovered and I'm still brooding over it in 24 hours, I'm just saying, in 24 hours, then I've basically spent a lot of my time in the past, because all, quote, losses and all wins are in the past also.
Right.
And so I really value living in the present moment and feeling the present moment. And when I practice it, and when I'm you can't see me, but I'm snapping my finger right now. I don't know if you can hear it. When I practice it's easy to snap into the present moment. So it's a lot about being in the present moment, and especially with sports. Sports is being in the present moment at all times.
Right.
Now, so you said you're a football fan, professional football. Do you have any preferences in the game today?
I do. People have asked me that, and I say
Peyton Manning. I'm going to guess Peyton Manning.
Yeah. My heart is for Denver for a couple reasons. One, certainly Peyton Manning, I am a big fan of his, and we got a chance to meet Peyton at an event. And actually, Jason, you know, my manager that's now an assistant coach with me, has actually worked when Peyton played for the Indianapolis Colts. He actually worked their training camp a few years, so he got to know Peyton. So I'm definitely would love to see Denver win. But if you ask me as a coach to put my coaching hat from my brain, I think Carolina is the better team. So. But I definitely would like to see Denver win.
Well, you echoed my sentiments exactly. But now you're reminding me, and one of the professional football players in the NFL that can speak without having their lips poked out and their head down and woe is me is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning. Who else do I know that I've watched interview after a game? It just shows so much for me. I just wish that, you know, wishes, but I would like that more of the children, the kids that are growing up can emulate that, as opposed to someone that knows, oh, they lost and now they're just, oh, gosh, life is over, I lost, that kind of stuff. So I really, really respect that. And that is a gift. And that to me has to be taught, especially to the children, to the students growing up.
Absolutely.
Now, we're almost at the end of the show, and I would like to ask you a personal question, which is still, mm-hmm. it's still, you know, trust me, it's not that personal. But I want to, because you're talking a lot about growing and changing and always evolving. So, Coach, how are you different today than you were last month?
You know what? I think I'm different because one of the things I do, you know, I do two keynotes. I do one on inspiration called Dreams Really Do Come True and another one on leadership, as I mentioned earlier. And one of the things that I share in my inspirational keynote is that I think we all have to have a personal growth plan. And one of the things, I've been doing that for quite a few years, and I feed my mind through reading or listening to CDs in my car or on my iPod. I'm always trying to feed my mind. And therefore, I think I am a different person every month. And I think in the most case, in a positive way, because I'm continuing to grow and learn and take in more knowledge and then be able to, I think the two things is that you have to continue to search for ideas to improve yourself. And then the second part to that is when you find a good idea that you take action on it and implement it in your life. And, you know, like I think something to be successful, I think you got to feel good about yourself. So feeding positive materials in your mind is helping. And then I think you got to take care of yourself. You know, when people ask me, you know, you have a really busy schedule, and I said I do, but I always put an appointment every day to exercise. And you know, I know a lot of people in our country, unfortunately, we have some real issues with health because people aren't taking care of themselves. And so I think it's really important that you come up with a plan and then take action on it. And when you do that, I think you change yourself and you continue to change and grow. And the one constant in life is change. And so you got to be ready for it and to be able to do it on a constant basis.
Well, you know, I really like you, but you didn't answer the question again.
Well, what do you want me to say? How much? What I have changed? Or
yeah, yeah, no. What specifically? Yeah. How specifically are you different? Specifically, how are you? I'll give you an example of me. Like I am, I'm more patient today than I was a month ago. That more specifically, how? Don't think I'm such a whore. Anyway, yeah. What specifically?
Right.
How are you different than a month ago? I heard what you
do,
but
right.
Specifically.
Well, the answer to that specifically is that I'm a calmer person.
Now we're getting to the nitty gritty. Calmer person. Interesting.
Right. Yeah. And because of that, I think I've been able to handle, because I have a lot on my plate right now. We're doing a big fundraiser for autism this week, and so you know I'm still coaching my team, and we're doing a book signing. I have a book called The Coach and a Miracle, and Roy Firestone, that's a sports celebrity, is coming in to be our keynote speaker at our autism event this Thursday. So I have a lot on my plate, but I think because of my personal development plan, I'm a calmer person. I would not have handled this as well as I think I'm handling it right now if I hadn't continued to grow. So to answer your question specifically, I think I'm a calmer person than even a month ago. So.
Well, see, that is an answer that I really wanted, because what I like to share on this show is to really monitor and pay attention to. It's being self-aware of who you are and how you are growing, and monitor that and know that now you said I'm calmer. Well, that is specific and that is huge, quite frankly. And one of the reasons why you're talking about being calmer is because of all of the things that you're seeking and you're learning and you're always out there. So thank you for sharing that specific example, and that's what I wanted to share. Everything that, you know, this growing, it's just not talking about it. It's really about having a specific example. I'm less judgmental. I'm more patient. I'm calmer. Mm-hmm. So that is a key, but you have to tune into that, and you have to really want to be different than you are this month and then next month. And quite frankly, a day, 2 days, a week, how am I different from last week? So it's a continual that always happens. We're coming to the end of the hour, so I want you to share with my audience where they can contact you. You said you had a fundraiser. Just talk about it again. Where is it located?
Yep.
What time? What date? Go, Coach, go. 30 seconds. No,
well,
I'm just kidding.
My website is coachjimjohnson.com. It has a lot of information about we do a weekly blog, and we have a monthly newsletter you can sign up for. I do have a book, as I mentioned, called A Coach and a Miracle. And then to talk about our autism fundraiser, I've become a very big advocate for autism, and one of my dreams after I retire from coaching is to try to have awareness and actually travel the country and do autism events to raise money. And so the event we're doing is this Thursday, February 11th. It's going to be at the Rochester Convention Center, where, as I mentioned, we're going to bring in Roy Firestone, who's a sports celebrity. I had a show on ESPN for many years, and he's coming in from Los Angeles to be our keynote speaker. And we're really excited about that, and we're looking. Our goal is to try to raise $50,000 for a local autism organization called Autism Up. Their website is autismup.org, AUTISMUP.org. And we're really excited. I'm really looking forward. We have our last game of the season, for the regular season, on Wednesday, and Roy's going to come to our game, and then we have our postseason after that. But we're really excited for our event to raise money and awareness for autism, and we hope to make it an annual event.
That sounds really exciting, and it will be an annual event, and it will grow. And I remember Roy Firestone. I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about. That's I know who. Well, congratulations on that. And
this show,
you'll have a link to this show, and you can put it on your website. This show will be archived forever. And I just really appreciate your time sharing. And not only sharing what you talk about in your keynote speeches, but also sharing behind the scenes with Coach Johnson. Thank you for being open, and thank you for being okay with me, you know, just poking at you sometimes, right?
No, it's my pleasure. I had a lot of fun with it, and let me know if I can ever support you again. And it was great to talk to you, Rebecca.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Coach Jim Johnson, and thank you for listening. My audience, you know, Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you like Reality Spirituality show today, and I know that you did, go to the Facebook page, Reality Spirituality on Facebook, and just give us a like. I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always growing. You're always changing. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. My favorite quote is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. This is about the journey. And just like Coach Johnson was saying earlier, he's noticed that he's calmer. Even, I don't care how old you get or what stage you're in your life, whether you're young all the way to 120, this thing, having a goal, having an intention to be different, to grow, to evolve, to expand, to be more of who you are right now is really, really important, because if you're not growing, quite frankly, you're stagnating. And so the emphasis that I like to share is growth. And all growth is good. All growth is good because it enables you to just really, really expand, live to your potential, like I talked about earlier. So thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you, Coach Johnson. I'll be giving you a call in a minute, and you've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you again.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.